Joining us today on Stockbox is the chairman of Kalima Energy, Glenn Whiddon. Kalima Energy are a free cash flow and growth focused Canadian oil and gas producer and explorer listed on the ASX with the ticker CE1. Welcome, Glenn.
Thank you.
To start, please can you give us an overview of the company, its projects, and what you're aiming to achieve?
Thank you. Yes, look, the company Kalima Energy listed on the ASX, we have two major assets that are in production, the Brooks and the Thorsby. We're currently producing around 3,300, 3,400 barrels of oil equivalent a day. We have gross revenues of about $5 million a month after royalties and an EBITDA of about 2.2, 2.1, depending on the oil price. We also have a very, very large liquids-rich gas play call up in the Montney. We have just under 2 TCF of contingent resource. It's an extremely large play that we proved up about 4 years ago when gas prices were about 50 cents an MCF or 50 cents a BTU in the European terminology. And I think, as you know, today, gas prices in Europe are $16 a BTU. So we've actually got a cash flow generating asset making positive EBITDA in the Brooks and the Thorsby. And we have a very, very large gas resource with a liquids-rich component up in the Montney that we're looking now to monetize, develop, or joint venture.
Excellent. Well, a growth-focused company with top-tier assets and positive cash flow sounds a very attractive model. Where are you positioned on this journey, and what strategy are you pursuing?
Look, the strategy is really to be a little aggressive while at the same time managing our balance sheet and our overall exposure to the market. When we go and drill new wells, we drill development wells. We're not drilling exploration wells. When we drill development wells, we actually hedge our production at that level so we can always be assured to recycle our capital and not be exposed to any downward pressure in the oil price if it does happen. And through the growth side is what we're really looking at doing is taking the production from 3,300 barrels a day to 5,000 barrels a day by year end, which we're very confident we can do. We've drilled three wells recently called the Leos 1, 2, and 3. Those wells are currently commencing fracking as of next week, and those wells will add probably around 500 barrels a day of oil equivalent to our production base per well. So we're going to be very, very close to the 5,000 barrels a day of production at year end. And with the Montney, it's such a large resource. It's connected to the pipeline. We bought facilities and infrastructure over 2 years ago when gas was an unloved asset. We bought assets that basically have a replacement value today of about $100 million for $500,000 a number of years ago. We've got the asset, we've got the field connected to the grid, and really we're just deciding how we're going to exploit that on the growth side. But we've started a process with an investment bank in Canada, and quite frankly, we could surprise shareholders very significantly to the upside if we can deliver what we're hoping there in terms of a sale process.
Excellent. Well, a more general question would probably be, why the focus on Canada?
Well, look, we're all part of the Commonwealth. I have to say, though, after working in Canada for many years, I think the Brits and the Australians, we have a little more synergies. The Canadians, though, while they're part of the Commonwealth, they're quite strange at times. So we do like working in Canada because they're very predictable and they're very reliable and they're very punctual. They don't have a very good sense of humour. That's one of the reasons that we probably would reconsider our investments in Canada. The reason we're in Canada is that it's one of the best oil and gas basins in the world, certainly in Alberta and BC. They've got a history of oil and gas production that goes back 100 years. They have established infrastructure. They've got a very good royalty arrangement. It's a tier one jurisdiction. We know what the laws are. You don't lose assets in Canada. They have a great environmental track record. You have to rehabilitate your wells. They've got some of the best ESG requirements in the world. And you get a great price for your product. And we're not dealing in a second or third world country where rules change, regimes change, and the environment is not protected. So Canada's, despite a lot of good Canadians being there, but if only they had more better sense of humour, it'd be a great place to operate.
Excellent. Are you looking to acquire more assets, more projects? And if so, what's your criteria for acquiring assets?
Look, we want to grow the business, and whether we grow the business organically through our own growth in production or through acquisitions, we will do so. At the moment, acquisitions are expensive. and it's hard to find the right one. We've got a couple offers out there at the moment, but you know, we'll see what happens. So what we've done is we've put together a plan to grow organically through drilling of new wells and our reserves. We have currently 25 million barrels of 2P reserves. So we have over 130 drilling locations already booked that we could actually drill new development wells on. So if we can't find the right acquisition at the right terms, we'll just drill more wells, drill more development wells. We'll connect them to the grid and to the infrastructure that we have in place. And that's one of the beauties of the assets that we have in Canada, the Blackspur assets that we have. The assets were built for production of 10,000 barrels a day. We're currently producing, as I said, 3,300. We're going to 5,000 by year end, and we can grow to 10,000. So we don't need to spend a lot of new capital to increase our production and grow our revenue. So whether it's through the acquisition of new businesses or mergers with others or through the drill bit, drilling our own wells, we'll grow the business. But we're going to be very focused on generating revenue and, most importantly, generating operating cash flow that we can then distribute back to shareholders. So it's really going to be driven by what's best for shareholders at the time.
Okay, makes sense. Are all your potential candidates existing sites, or do you consider virgin ground?
Look, we're looking for existing oil and gas fields. In the current cycle, with oil prices at $70, $80 a barrel and running to 100, you want to be able to react very quickly to bring assets into production. So you want to buy existing operations. I've done greenfield operations in Russia, Tunisia, Angola, Côte d'Ivoire, all through Europe. It's all too hard. We are getting to the end of the hydrocarbon cycle sometime over the next 10 or 15 years. But today, hydrocarbons will generate significant cash flow and significant returns to shareholders, but you need to be responsive to the market. And so you need to operate in a tier one jurisdiction like Canada. You really need to be onshore. You need to be close to infrastructure. And most importantly, you need to be close to the market, which is the US and North America. So we're really going to focus on onshore assets with existing infrastructure rather than greenfields and, take the roulette wheel of the drill bit and hope we find something and then figure out how we're going to find $500 million to drill to develop an offshore oil field. May not be as sexy as others, but we've done some modelling, and that if we produce 5,000 barrels of oil equivalent a day in 2022, and the oil price stays at $70 WTI, we will make north of $60 million EBITDA for the year, and our current market capitalization is only $100 million.
What should investors look out for in near term? What's the current roadmap looking like?
Look, I think near term, we're going to be driven by just more production, more cash flow, more profitable operations, drilling new wells, managing the risk, and distributing dividends to shareholders. And then eventually, if we can deliver what we expect on the Montney, making quite a big, large cash distribution back to shareholders from the proceeds of a Montney sale. So we're looking to be relatively conservative but responsive to rising oil price. And if the oil price goes to $100 a barrel, what you'll see is probably drill 8 or 10 wells very, very quickly. And we can make a decision to drill a well today, and we can have the drill bit in the ground within 30 days. Now, if we were doing anywhere in Africa or offshore, that would be 6, 12, 18 months before that happened. So you'll just see us being responsive to the energy market and responsive to the energy cycle and looking after shareholders. Myself and my family, we're big shareholders. We've been supporting this company for many years, and we want to make money. We want to make lots of money. So we're going to work on a way to make money for shareholders.
Oh, it's great to have that flexibility. Okay, well, finally, can you give us three reasons why investors should consider investing in Kolima Energy?
First of all, we're really nice people. That's the first reason, because we're focused on our business. We have a good time. We've got a great team of guys. Even the Canadians are good. But we have a team of guys who are experienced in the sector. We've all made money in the past in oil and gas. We've actually all lost money in oil and gas, and it's always better to invest with people who've actually lost money as well as made money. You're not as cocky and arrogant as if you've only made it. So we've lost money in the sector. We've got the cycles wrong. I'm 57. The team's in their mid-40s, And we can see with the quality of the assets that we have today that we can grow this business organically or through acquisitions and generate returns to shareholders. So I think the first answer is you've got an experienced management team, you've got shareholders and management, or certainly management that's vested, written out checks in the company, support the business and have been around for many, many years. I think the second thing is the oil and gas cycle it's going to be on a tear. Energy is a place to invest nowadays. Although many of the greenies would like you to be told that renewables are going to meet the UK and the world's energy requirements. I do recall that 3 or 4 weeks ago that you had to turn on coal-fired power stations and gas-fired power stations to meet your energy needs because the wind didn't blow and the sun didn't shine. So I think energy and carbon-based energy sources are going to be around for many years to come. I think that's a second reason. And thirdly, I think we do have a very, very good ESG policy. We are in Canada, which manages and cares for the environment very, very much, probably more so than any other country, certainly in the oil and gas industry. So we're careful operators. So I think those are the three reasons that people should look at us as an investment.
Superb. Well, it's been great talking with you. Many thanks for your time today, Glenn.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Thanks again to Glenn Whiddon, chairman of Kalima Energy, listed on the ASX with the ticker CE1.
Thank you for listening to this Stockbox interview. For more information, interviews and videos, visit our website at stockboxmedia.com or give us a follow on Twitter by searching at Stockbox Media.